Untapped Talent on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to it. This is Untapped Talent with myself, Siya Sangwe Nifin. Thank you so much for having us on. It's going to be an hour and a bit, hey, of absolutely chatting to awesome young people who are doing amazing things with their careers and really going out there and driving their passions forward. So with that said, I have, you know, these guys, yeah, it's just always very, very awesome just to catch, chat to awesome young people. And sometimes I feel like my self-esteem is being a little hit by chatting to them, but I'm really excited that they're going out there and really making great things with themselves. And in hindsight, I get to chat to them on the show. So it's a bit of a win-win situation for all of us here. First things first is a young actor by the name of Thabo Rametsi. And I think this is will go down in his personal career as a powerful, powerful performance. He has taken on the role of Solomon Mahlangu in the biopic Kalushi. And I... yeah, so the premiere's tomorrow night, and you know what, I'll try by hell or high water to make it there, but just even seeing the trailer of the biopic, it's absolutely power stuff. We know we live in South Africa, and these are the stories that need to be told, and I personally believe there are so many people who go, there's so much more to South Africa than just politics or, you know, violence and suffering, but in my own opinion, you can't really get to that point where you celebrate all the greatness and the goodness the country has to have, and that the country does have, without actually facing the realities and of what we have gone through and what we have been through. And this biopic, standing on its own, tells this amazing, amazing story in such a powerful way. I'll be talking to this young guy. He's an amazing actor and has quite a CV to him. And he's just added this great biopic onto the CV. It's incredible stuff. And then straight after that, chatting to a young musician. Her name is Chanel Van T. And I absolutely love the first couple of lines in her biography state, "If it were possible to melt the heart of Mazzy Star, the soul of PJ Harvey, and the pure poetic prowess of Throwing Muses' Tanya Donnelly into a solitary star, she'd go by the name of Chantel Van T." Now, she's somewhere out in the world because, you know, this is what you get when you're being a super duper young star out there. She's somewhere, she was gigging last night, so we'll be chatting to her. She's literally in the middle of her journey back to Gauteng, but I think it's awesome getting to chat to her, finding more about her full-length debut album, We're Still Running, and about her career working with incredible different people, you know, producers like like Matthew Fink, who've worked with Matthew Mole and Taylor and the Black Hotels and Shadow Club, and just a whole array and very colorful different artists. So that's our show this morning. Listen, if you do want to add in it in any way, shape, or form, like you always do, all you have to do is tweet us at cliffcentral.com or at @Sia_SF, or you can go into the Cliff Central official account on WeChat, tap connect, and then message to show as well. I'll get your message as it pops up onto screen right in front of me here. And so before we get started with the interviews, like we always do every single week, it's the cover of the week feature. I absolutely love this, getting to see what young artists and how they're interpreting popular songs. So this week, I feel like sometimes with the cover of the week, I really do appease the big masses out there. So we've done something for the Beliebers, Justin Bieber fans. I don't think we've actually done a One Direction song before, so I'll have to note that down. But hey, Taylor Swift fans, don't fret, because this week I got you covered. We've covered her bestie Selena Gomez a while ago with Can't Keep My Hands to Myself in that cover. So this week we're going to do Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's song Out of the Woods, I'm sure you've heard it by now, because 1989, her album is just here, then, everywhere. But more than that, Out of the Woods is like this deep, emotive song by Taylor. Even the music video in itself is very dramatic, because it's Taylor Swift and she's wrapped in a blue dress and she's running around a forest and she's being attacked by wolves. Then she's in snow, then she's on a beach, and then it's very, very confusing. But, you know, come on, what do you expect from Taylor Swift? So this week, young YouTuber Tiffany Alvord has taken on the task of covering the song, and it's simply titled Out of the Woods. So you tell me how the song is. Is it without the drama and actually sounds like a cool song? Well, you can always let us know on WeChat or on Twitter. But let's get it started. This is the cover of the week this week on Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com.
Clear.
This week's cover of the week right on Untapped Talents with myself, Sia Sangweni Finn, Tiffany Alvoid on YouTube, covering Taylor Swift's Out of the Woods. Yeah, the song's all about drama and Taylor's heartbroken. And then, you know what? A, Taylor, you can always get yourself a new guy, so you don't have to be depressed. And B, Tiffany, I think you did an amazing attempt at this song, but I just thought about in retrospect, it's kind of a bit too dramatic for Friday. But anyway, let's move on. And maybe I should ask my guest about, you know, his take on this song. But let's move on. This is Untapped Talent with myself, Sia Sangweni Finn.
Untapped Talent on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, Mr. Tabo.
How you doing, Sia?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm great, brother. That was a boring song. That was very boring. And I love covers, and that was just probably on the top charts of being boring.
That was not a good... Yeah, just
thank you.
Get comfortable. Just
the engineer is adjusting my mic because I'm a novice.
Well, you know, you are a thespian at the end of the day, so you're used to projecting. You should have somehow...
It's known, ne?
Yeah, just moved and projected somewhere or the other. Tell me about it. Out of the Woods, are you a Taylor Swift fan?
Actually, I bought her first few albums because I'm a
oh, really?
Big, yeah, I'm a big fan of songwriters. I don't actually listen to music based on the artist. It's like on the songwriter who wrote the song.
Yeah.
And she's a phenomenal songwriter. So yeah.
Do you feel like she's now lost her roots and she's like she's in your bad books?
No.
Ever since she did 1989.
No, it's a great album, but it's just like I feel like
poppy.
Not even that. I just feel like I'm connected. I'm disconnected to her as a person. I feel like her first albums were just really about her as a person. It felt like a little girl in a room writing songs, where this is generally a pop star making hit records, which I have no problem with.
She's making more money. Kudos on her, because at the end of the day, it's a business. But I miss the days when she was crying about being 16 and heartbroken.
Yeah, man, and about like a guy picking the other girl. I love that. I love that.
I love how we're actually like laughing at Taylor Swift's heartbreak here. No offense, T-Swivel.
I was in a movie with her though.
Hold up, yes, let's talk. You know, we have so much to talk about The Giver, right, in 2014.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Before we get into
that.
I don't know, how do we want to... Let's actually start about you personally before we get to Kalusha and all the movies you've done as well. So let's backtrack just a tiny little bit. Tabo as an actor.
Sweet.
And Tabo as someone interested in the arts. When did that begin for you?
Wow, I think that was at my nexus probably. No, I was very young. I think I started really kicking it off in primary school in plays and stuff like that. And I think I never thought I'd be a professional actor. In fact, a lot of people were telling me when I did school plays that you're going to be a great actor. I didn't think of it as a job at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I sort of grew, and then I was forced to study law, which I hated. But then I remember I was in a lecture in law and I was bored out of my skull. I really was. I was flirting with like every girl, and then they just hated it because they were like, what is this idiot doing? I'm like, I'm bored, I'm gonna flirt with you.
Yeah, you were not in the law realm.
And I walked out the I literally just got up right after this. I was flirting with this guy, I just got up and I left, and I was like, I want to be an actor. And that's what I did.
Now hold up, all right, so you're telling me even as a child at school,
yeah,
you came alive on stage, even though you didn't conventionally know that, okay, you were going to be an actor full time. But did you have any inklings that you look back on now in retrospect, like, okay, maybe that one time I refused to be a tree and I just wanted to be the star of the show, should have told me that I needed to be an actor?
You know what? I've never even now, I've never minded playing the tree as long as the tree had a story to tell.
Time will be real.
No, I'm going to be honest with you right now. I just turned down like a role for a soapy. Not a soapy, it's like a show. It's a really cool show.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I turned it down because they wanted to offer me the lead character and I preferred the other guy, the antagonist. The lead character was written so crappily, and I was like, the antagonist is so much better. So if I really don't care about the star thing, you just have to write it well, man.
Yeah,
like, if it's good, I'll do it. And I just sometimes the leads are super boring because like he's the hero, all he does is like do good things.
Yes.
Ugh.
Okay, I'm already getting a good vibe of you. So firstly, you are a true actor. Like, you're the type of person who will go like 2 weeks without showering just for a role. I can already get that vibe.
No problem.
You see, there we go. I knew it. Case closed, interview done. I'm right. So it's all about the story at the end of the day for
absolutely,
you, huh?
Absolutely. I'll never just take on a project. And I did a soapy recently. That was just to like save up money so I can go to the States, which I blew.
Was that High Rollers?
Sure, of course. I'm not going to say what show it was.
So there's a lot to get into, clearly.
But yeah, I didn't really do that from love. Oh, I did it because my co-star is someone I was a really big... And here's another thing. I'm a big fanboy. So if I'm a fan of somebody, I'll...
Like mutual admiration of the work?
Yeah.
Not like...
No, not... I mean, like, it has to
trolling
be
Justin Bieber type of fan.
Nah,
okay,
nah.
Got it.
So there was a fantastic actress who was a part of that show, who was packaged, and if I had to do it, she was going to be part of it. And I said, okay, I'll do it only if she's going to do it. And she She's with my agent. And when I heard that she might not be doing, I pulled out, and then they said, no, she is doing. Then I opened, so that's me. That's me.
Wait, in my mind, I'm now doing like this process of elimination. No, like, who could it
be? I'm not going to even get into that, because I really do respect the people who were part of that show and stuff. I just felt like the writing wasn't really as good. And it was written quite stereotypically from a perspective of a young black male and the character they made me play.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just lazy writing. And but it, like, the cast and the crew are fantastic people.
Yeah.
Just, I have no place to grow there. And neither did she. She ended up leaving as well, so...
You know, what I'm getting at, just with chatting you so briefly and just like the energy you carry, is that I think there are rare actors that are like you, and particularly in South Africa. And I don't know, you know, like, no offense to anyone else in the acting industry in SA, but I feel like there are not a lot of actors who really internalize not only just their roles, but the story that the character will tell, and ultimately what sort of message will this production take out there into the world. And I think it's actually a great thing, and the role of an actor overall, to think so much about a role before they actually take it on, and not just take it on for the sake of mass appeal or a huge salary at the end of the day.
Yeah, but I mean, the drawback to that is that you starve, which I'm doing currently, but I starve happily, and mm-hmm. which is a weird thing to say. It's so unnerving, so disgusting even, to do something you don't enjoy. I mean, I studied law. If I really wanted to do something for money, I would just have been a lawyer. I'd make way more money.
Yeah.
There are no South African actors who are millionaires because of acting.
Yeah.
If I wanted to make money, I would have been a lawyer. But the thing is, the stories are so paramount, and we need to start taking responsibility as actors to make sure we're pushing the industry forward. And we're doing that by, if I have to sacrifice and starve and not do a couple of soaps and just do movies back to back, in order to create a movie star persona,
yeah,
I'll do that so we can get a movie star culture here, and we can make more movies as a result.
I want to get back to you sitting in that law lecture, and you stood up and you're like, not for me.
Yeah.
Because the truth matters, there are so many people out there who always talk about the passion that they get from being on stage as an artist, or, you know, maybe they just want to be a dancer, or not even in the arts or entertainment realm, but really they are stuck doing something that they are not enjoying, or that really doesn't fulfill them. What did it take for you to actually get up and walk out and not second guess your decision?
You know, the thing is, I was really good at law. I was like a really good student. I think I tricked myself into believing that I'd like it and get on with it, because I used to watch a lot of Boston Legal back then. That literally is the only thing that kept me in my law classes.
Wow.
And then when I realized deeper into it that this is not actually how law is like, I'll never get to present cases. All I have to do is recite somebody else's words, and the judge will say, oh yes, that's it, you quoted the right piece. There's no real... You don't know this about law in South Africa. It's not really interpretive very much. You're just taking like legislation and just reciting it for
a judge.
There's
no glamour.
There's none of that. It's really the most boring thing you could ever do.
So there's not. Is there even an appeal in wearing a power suit and walking?
I hate suits. Another reason.
Okay, there we go.
I would have rather been a male stripper. I'm just not endowed well enough. But if I was, I probably would have been a male stripper.
Yeah, definitely was not for you then. But I want to know more about that courage.
Yeah, it wasn't courage.
And not being able to doubt your decision. But I do think it does take a level of courage, though, to trust your instincts and to go and be guided fully by your feelings.
You know, and it's funny because my lady friend, my girlfriend, said that the other day. Because I turned on a lot of gigs. I'm very fortunate. I've been offered quite a few gigs, and it's because of the reason, because I just feel like they're crappy.
Yeah.
And as a result, I won't have as much money as I probably should have. And she said to me, like, dude, I'd rather you be broke, but knowing that you're following your heart and you're doing the things that you actually like doing, because then I'd know that you're following me because you like me as well. You know, and so that's
yes, says. Wow. Yeah, so quote of the day for you and your girlfriend. That is like power stuff.
Yeah, but I think that is the most paramount thing. And it doesn't take courage. It just takes self-love.
Because
you can't do something you don't enjoy doing. You only have one life. I'm a devout atheist, and I'll put that in quotes. So for me, it's really like you have this one life. You create your heaven and your hell right here.
Yeah.
And I decided I was already in hell, and I was getting out, and then I was like jumping onto the other ship and say, hey, what's up in heaven?
So in the way you saw things, like, this is basically the worst it could get.
Yeah. Oh, it can get far worse. But,
but the only way is up, hopefully, at that point.
Yeah.
That's very, very interesting. I think if a lot of people thought the way you did and saw...
Broke.
They'd be broke but happy. Okay, yeah. That's the operative term. Happiness, that's what it's all about.
Work.
And how do you deal with people who don't see things the way you do? So, for example, if your family members are like, but guy... Now you're sleeping on my couch, but you could have been out there in these law streets.
No, that's standard. You know what the thing is? It's quite an incredible thing. I never had the support and backing of my family per se, but they did something which very few people in my position get. They didn't stand in my way either. So they said, dude, we don't support this. You can do whatever you think, but we're not going to stop you. But go do your thing. And I actually stayed in law. I kind of realized I didn't want to be in law for a while.
When did you drop out?
I think in second year. Second, and I still carried on via correspondence.
Okay, good, because I was about to say.
And I'll tell you what, the only reason I did that was so that I didn't have to pay rent at my mom's house.
Hold up.
So I knew that would buy me time until I got an acting gig.
Hold up, so you and your mother had like this understanding.
I was still studying law via UNISA.
Okay, so that counts.
Yeah, no, I really didn't care like, what the results were. I didn't study, I didn't give a crap. I just needed to do it long enough so that she would get off my back so I can go like actually audition and
yes.
crap. Yeah,
and you were, until you were at a point where you could stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
All right, got it. Okay, yeah, got an understanding. Well, look, things have definitely become beyond fruitful for you as you move along your journey. You've started so many things. Even while you were still studying law, like in 2010, you entered Class Act, which was all about, you know.
It was like the idols of acting.
That's actually a nice way to put it.
Yeah, it was like the idols of acting. That actually set me up, and that gave me one of the best agents in the country, Munin Lee. And that probably changed my life. The biggest is Class Act. Nobody knows anything about it, and I did really poorly at it. It was probably one of the worst periods.
But you were
time.
Also young at that age, dude. So don't be so hard on yourself. You were 21 years old.
Everyone was 27 except for Steven. Steven, who was also on that show, is actually in America now. He did like a Gillette ad. Like they gave him millions. I don't want to snitch Steven, but Steven's a millionaire. Steven Ward, shout out.
Wow. Millions. For like standing in front of a mirror and doing several takes of shaving
really
your...
He's really pretty.
Well, yes. You know, sometimes in life, you win some, you lose some, but you just got to keep going on. So let's not hate Stephen too much.
Oh, no, I love that, bro.
What is the biggest thing you learned from being in Class Act back then?
Not to give a damn about what anybody says, especially as the South African public. And never make my decisions based on anybody except me.
But isn't that easier said than done when you are in an industry that needs constant validation from other people? We cannot help.
I'll tell you why it was easy. I was really bad on Class Act, and the South African public made it a point to let me know every single day how horrible I was. Even though I was learning how to act in front of millions of people, they didn't care. And so when I saw that people actually don't really give a damn about you, it's funny because a lot of those people now think I'm really great. I mean, I'm like, well, it takes that for me to get to this point.
Yeah.
So I generally realize, okay, if I listen to these people, if I listen to the guys, one of the judges, the last thing they said, and I've been here before and I've said this story, the last thing one of the judges said, I'm going to say who he is. His name is Tandika Matatu.
Uh-huh.
He's a big big producer. Produced Jerusalem. He said, maybe acting isn't for you.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the last thing I heard. And that was the best thing that anyone could have ever said to me. I was like, oh, really, buddy? Okay, sweet.
So then, it now fuels you and works as motivation.
Yeah.
But you know, I was talking to Zoe Brown from Espresso last week on the show as well. And she was talking to me about how she entered Presenter Search on 3. And it was one of the toughest things she had to go through, because also she was learning live TV presenting in front of the whole country.
Mm.
So now people are commenting, people are sending SMSs,
Every Tom, Dick, and Jabulani has an opinion.
You see?
Every one of them. And you know what's funny? They don't have time to understand what you're going through. And they're so... Because they're hiding behind these beautiful screens. They can say whatever they want to say. And that's when I disconnected from people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized the decisions I have to make... And that's why I always laugh when people say I'm good or bad. I'm like, trust me, dude. I'm the hardest person on me. Whatever you're going to say is like light compared to what I say. So I critique my own work. I don't need anyone's opinion. I'm really cool with that. And that's why it's been easy for me to turn down gigs. Because I'm like, I'm not worried about being famous. I'd rather not. I enjoy my anonymity to a large extent. I love being able to go to any shop or whatever in like my flip-flops and shorts and stuff. And I don't care how I dress. And if people got a problem with that, they can really kiss my ass. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I think we all need a flipping page out of your book. Then clearly I need to reassess my life and what I'm doing. So is that how you don't listen to a lot of noise? And is that how you remain centered in yourself and going out there and working... And just being committed to your craft in the way that is authentic to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the best to say. I think that was the hatred and the hatred that I felt from the audience was one of the best things I'd ever gotten. It made me realize that the only thing that matters is the story that you're telling and the person whose story you're telling. Just honor those people and their story, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And people shouldn't have to. They don't have to like Thabo Rametsi, but they do need to relate and see something within a Solomon Mahlangu, within an Officer Brown, whatever the character. characters I've played. And you know what's funny? There, people love the characters, and whether or not they know me or not is irrelevant.
Mm.
Kevin Spacey doesn't do many interviews, and they asked him why. He said, because the less they know about me, the more they believe my characters. And that is really beautiful.
Oh, that is power.
Yeah.
That is power.
You know what I mean?
And that is why I actually have to say, I cannot watch a J-Lo or a Jennifer Aniston movie.
Yeah, but and you know what, and I'm going to get a lot of flack from this from other actors, but I, and I have to argue the same thing about Denzel Washington. I think the moment you have isms in your character,
yes.
So we all know Denzel does, we know the things, you know, basically what
which identifies you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think that, and Denzel's a phenomenal actor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, I'll not, he's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the fact that I can always see that that's Denzel there. It's just Denzel angry,
yeah.
It's Denzel doing this, Denzel that. Where I prefer probably more chameleons, you know, and there's really great actors who've really like completely changed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those actors more than the guys I can say, oh, that's Denzel, that's
yeah.
Tom Cruise, that's that now.
So before, if you see the actor before you see the character,
yeah.
Then they need
I'm
to
lost,
do some
yeah,
reassessing.
I'm already lost already then.
I have to say, just on that note, there's someone, I don't know if everyone will agree with me on this one, but I think Lenny Kravitz is an actor.
You know, I've only seen him in the, what's this, that movie,
he's
The
been,
Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games, and he's always, he's also been, I think, in Precious.
Oh, I did see him in Precious.
And
he was in bad in Precious.
When
actually.
I now watch a movie, and right at the end, I'm like, oh, hello, that's the flippin'
that's a
amazing
point.
Rocker, thank you.
That's a good, because I actually never think that's Lenny Kravitz
exactly,
acting.
Exactly.
He's not doing the greatest job in the world, but I never say, oh, that's Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
And I love Lenny,
yeah.
He's one of my favorite musicians. So that's a really, really good point.
Mariah Carey and Precious is debatable then.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who are debatable. We'll get into that later.
Please name and shame. Just give me like three people. They can be international, so that it's no offense.
No. I don't want to offend these people. It's because I actually like these people, and I respect them. But this is a call to them to improve their skills.
Okay.
So, for example, there was a movie called Tell Me Sweet Something.
Yes.
Did you ever get a chance of watching that?
Ooh,
I'm going to get into this because we have to. If we don't, I'm going to get into this. Yeah, you can get your phone.
Well, I'm kind of seeing one of them on Monday. So
No, you can play this for them. And this is a call out. And the guy who directed that film is a person who paid for my acting lessons and is a person who I respect greatly.
Okay.
Akino Motoso. Fantastic. But the casting, he got it wrong. And we've got to say it. And I like Nom Zamo. She's a beautiful soul. And Maps
yes.
is great. But Maps was Maps. Let's just be honest with ourselves, and Maps didn't do a great job as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Maps is a fantastic personality. He's a great model, but he didn't do it. And the reason why I'm calling him out for this is because, Maps, take acting lessons. You're getting so many opportunities right now,
yeah.
more than any of us. And you know what? I like how he looks. I think we need a guy who looks like Maps in the front of our screens,
mm-hmm.
because he's going to get a lot more women in there. If he can just add acting, and you know, he can actually learn that. He can really develop that.
Okay,
so, but no one's telling him that,
yeah.
because he keeps getting roles. No, Maps, you know the thing is about Tell Me Sweet Something? Before that, it was Inamba Namba. Before that was hard to get. That's Dumom Jali, that's Palance Ladla and Tishwe Zitkubu. Those are fantastic actors.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming on such a big up now. You know, the South African film is going to a beautiful place. There's Act Anna. There's a new film called Sync.
Mm-hmm.
These people are really putting their souls out there. We cannot afford right now, it's such a baby stage of our career,
yeah.
to be putting in just faces there. No, we need to be artistically credible.
Okay.
So I'm just calling out people like that. Stop casting people. The thing is, it's not Maps' fault that it gets cast. That's why
no.
I got no beef with Maps. Maps
yeah.
keep taking those roles. If they're if they're dumb enough to hire somebody who maybe isn't ready to take on that mantle, that's their fault. But Maps take every role they send to you, my brother, keep taking them. But my advice to you, my brother, because I feel like you have something,
mm-hmm.
take acting lessons and be better than everyone is saying. Because other actors are talking crap about you, my brother, and I'm going to tell you straight. Because they're angry that you're taking work off hardworking actors' plates.
Yeah.
And they should shut up, those actors. Because you didn't ask to get those opportunities, you're giving them. All I'm asking for you is, just to make sure they shut up, is become a great actor.
Okay, that is granted. You know, I was a bit nervous in the beginning. I was like, oh, Lord, breakfast is going to be all good on Monday.
No,
but now,
cool.
All right,
yeah.
I hear you and it's justified. And once again, echoes the sentiments I began this interview with. You are just this personality that is so... that internalizes so much, and you are well thought out in everything that you do. So it's very justified. All right, I hear you.
Okay, thank you.
We'll agree on that.
Okay, sure.
There we go. Let's move on.
Let's
talk about this new movie of yours.
Cool.
The first word that just pops up in my head when I think about the biopic, when I think about your role in it, when I think about the reaction and what I hope the ripple effect will be, is power.
Ooh, I like that word.
It's absolute power. It's powerful stuff. It's called Kalushi. It's the
yeah.
story of Solomon Mahlangu. A very, very powerful, strong story in South Africa. And just before we get into it, I want to play the trailer quickly.
Okay,
all right.
Sure. Prosecution, please lay the charges against the accused before this court. Two counts of murder and causing fear and distress in the public domain.
My name is Solomon Mahlangu. I live in Mamelodi, C2 Ndebele section.
There's going to be a match on the 16th of June in Soweto. Eh? I want you guys to come.
Soweto made us anger. It made me angry. Policemen killing children. What? Afrikaans? We were tired of only having stones to throw while you shoot us with bullets. We were going to fight fire with fire.
Solomon Mahlangu and Mondi Motlang have a common purpose. They left the country together. They underwent military training together.
You're not mercenaries. You're freedom fighters.
Are we clear? Yes,
sir. And together, they terrorized the people of South Africa. They had a common purpose. And that purpose was murder.
Welcome to Pretoria Central Maximum Security Prison. When you leave here, it'll be in a coffin.
There is no punishment that you can lay out in this court. No law, no government can pass that will kill the will of the people. Because we will fight. We will continue to fight until all our people are free.
Yikes. It's power.
Word.
It's power. Biopic named Kalushi, and I'm sitting here with the actor Thabo Rametsi, who plays the role of Solomon Mahlangu in the biopic. Guy, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And this is why I say congratulations. Yes, I haven't even seen the movie yet. And this is just based on the reviews and reading more about the project overall. I say congratulations because I found myself a couple of months ago, you know, whenever there was something about the struggle, something about apartheid, even something about the civil rights movements in America, I would switch off simply because I thought this is not of my time. I've heard stories of what happened there, but this is just not me today. But I sat down with someone and they actually explained, they were trying to get me to watch The Book of Negroes, which was the BET series. And they said, Sia, the reason why this is important and why such projects are still being made is because it allows you today, who is emotionally, physically detached from those situations and times, right, to now get a gauge, an inside look, a slice of the reality that was back then, for you to move on and be better informed. And that, for me, changed the way I see basically everything. I watched Book of Negroes and I never really cry over things, but I start thinking, oh, hot damn. And so I cannot imagine the South African who was born after 94, who has nothing to do with apartheid, can now get a gauge and take responsibility and have a certain new level found respect of our predecessors. And as we move on into the future, I'm just at a loss of words.
I think, just to add my two cents on what you're saying, I think what separates maybe Kalushi from the other films we've seen about the era is that, first and foremost, it's made by South Africans.
Wow.
So let's start there. Completely by South Africa. This is a complete South African production, from director to producer. It's owned by South Africans. It's told by South Africans. The entire cast is South African. I think the only two foreigners were the cinematographers, who's an American, an African American, and the Tommy Maddox. What up, Tommy? And Craig Hayes, who's also an African American as well.
Yeah.
And that's just because they studied with our director. Now, both of these guys are like underrated in Hollywood, but like Craig Hayes edited War of the Worlds by Steven Spielberg, never given the kind of credit he deserves because he's African American. And then Tommy's phenomenal cinematographer, he shot that, and he's never been given the credit because he's African American. There's not opportunities from them, so let them come home and shoot these things. So that's the first thing that separates it. It's South African, and it's the first time, and this is probably the biggest thing here, I think it's one of the first times we've had a South African story where a South African actor is playing the lead as a South African lead.
Yes.
And
yes,
that changes a lot, because for now, and what this movie is so different about is that the events are not the character here. I think the other movies it with the events.
Yeah.
This happened, this happened. Here, we've just gone down to a small little nucleus of a family, and we're examining how the events affected them. So the people are greater than the events in this movie.
And the power of it is to actually make people see, at the end of the day, this was just a family.
Mm, that's it.
And this was just a guy.
We never say apartheid in the movie. I think they only say like a political party's name once. You actually barely ever see the conflict between the races. Mm-hmm. There. It's actually really about what's going on through this young boy's eyes and his friend's eyes. It's so different. It actually, and one of the biggest things when I took on the role, I said, I hope this isn't another bloody apartheid movie.
Mm.
And it wasn't. It really wasn't.
And now you work with an incredible cast as well.
Ooh,
some
yeah.
amazing people. Pearl Tusi stars as Brenda. Mm-hmm. Thabo Malema as Mondi. And this is one of those films, really, that will have you sitting at the edge of your seat the whole way through. Tell us about the cast dynamics and working with all these different individuals.
All right, I'm going to start off by saying this. Thabo Malema is probably one of the best actors I've ever worked with, period, full stop. Another underrated guy because he doesn't look as good as maybe some other guys, as we've mentioned.
Yeah.
But because he doesn't look as maybe as he's actually a really handsome guy. Shout out. Looks like Don Cheadle and Denzel Washington.
Okay. If Don Cheadle and Denzel ever had a love child.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
But he's phenomenal. And then Pearl Tusi is a perfect example of what I was trying to talk to earlier about. Like, she started off because she was Pearl Tusi. She got roles because she was Pearl Tusi. And then she saw what people were saying about her acting ability, and she went to my acting coach, mm-hmm. called Dorothean Gould. And I think in this film, in this film, you'll see her, like, really, wow. I've never seen her act before. I didn't even know she acted. And I've known her for, like, 5 years. I didn't even know she acted. And then I saw her. I was like, dude, you're incredible. Like, wow. And she really works her ass off there. And this Jafta, who was in Jerusalem,
uh-huh.
phenomenal actor. Willie Linzunza, he's like Jack Nicholson. And, Fumani, there's so many brilliant actors. Lo Fenter is in it. Brilliant Afrikaans. We have such great Afrikaans actors in there. Like, there's a scene with just like Afrikaans actors. Like, you just want to bow down to that scene.
Yeah.
Phenomenal actors. And nobody was cast due to star casting or anything like that. It was really the dynamics and if everyone worked in it. And Sisiqinda Mhlophe, all these guys. And it really did work.
I'm in absolute awe of this project and what it can do for this country and what just hearing the story and watching the story. Yeah. That's a done, dusted. Like, what else can I say after this? I really cannot say a thing. Thabo, what's next for you?
Well, it looks like I'm going to be doing another film. I haven't.
Okay, can you tell us a sneak peek?
I can't even because I haven't signed anything. But I was fortunate enough when I did a show called Homeland.
Yeah.
And so that.
Yeah, and you've done a lot of international stuff as well.
That's pretty much all I've done, if I'm honest with you. The South African television's never really been a fan of the guy.
But then, hello, and what can you say when you are now in The Giver with Meryl Streep and Taylor Swift? Did you get to, like, see them on set?
Who did I get to see?
Because it was shot in a very interesting way, and also shot in South Africa, bits of Wits and bits of UCT, was it?
Or still mostly in Cape Town, and then it was Wits, I think, and UCT as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, The guy I got to bond with the lead of the movie. His name is Brenton Thwaites, another young up and coming actor. Actually, that was so critical. Meeting him and interacting with him was critical in how I played Kalushi, because it was the first time I saw somebody my age playing a lead in a movie. And then I saw that beyond acting, I saw how you carry yourself as a lead and the information that you need to have at your fore. And Brenton really. And I remember I was doing a scene with Brenton, and I had a long scene which has been cut subsequently in the film. It was quite a long, wordy scene, but it was interjected with his dialogue.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and says, "I'm not going to say anything to cut you. I think this is a great moment for you, and I want you to get as much screen time as possible. So you're going to say this as a monologue." You know what I mean?
That is, and then when you work with people like that, more do you want?
And he's so giving. And when I realized, he's like, "Dude, this is your time. Take it." And when that happened, I realized, okay, this is how you conduct yourself. So learning from Brenton was incredible. And I got to see a glimpse of the Merrills and stuff. I never got to meet them or anything like that, but I saw them work. And Jeff Bridges, who was the producer, he's one of my favorite actors. That was
Quite incredible. I think it speaks to your humility and how your priorities are straight in being in this business. Because if it was me, I would have a billboard by my house. I'd have my car wrapped up in stickers saying I was in The Giver with Taylor Swift and Meryl Streep, directed by Jeff Bridges.
A film I am really proud of is actually a film that actually didn't really get received very well, and it was really people said it was crappy, and I watched it was probably not the best film.
Mm-hmm.
But it was starred Daniel Radcliffe, the guy who plays Harry Potter,
yeah,
and Bill Paxton, and it was called Game Changers. It was a BBC made for TV thing, and I got to play this young guy, and he was like, he had killed some cops, and I do this fantastic scene there in a sequence. You probably will never see it, but it was a brilliant thing. And I remember after I did the sequence, Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter, we're just gonna call, he hates that. Daniel Radcliffe had come to set just to watch my scene. Wow. That was literally it. And then he came, then he watched it, and then this short guy comes, runs to me, and shakes my hand like, oh my God, you're so brilliant. So I'm not going to do the accent.
Yeah,
but he was like, that was amazing. It was bloody amazing. I love everything you did. And he was so energetic. And to see a guy with $250 million come at me and shake my hand and say, you did a great job. I have no place to be arrogant at any, any perspective. And then he invited me out to the club. We went to the club. We chilled for like 6 hours.
So you just partied with Daniel Radcliffe casually.
And he's so ordinary. So I felt like if that guy is going to be so chilled, who the hell am I to like come on some high horse or have a billboard? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This guy's done it. He's done it all. He's got the money. He's chilling there. Like, he's so mad chilled. I spent like 4 hours just talking to him. And he was so cool. So there's no place for me to get arrogant if people like that aren't arrogant.
But there's definitely a place to own your place in the industry. And I can definitely say from my own little bout of credibility that you're going places.
Oh,
it's absolutely insane, and it's very, very interesting to watch what you do next and how you do it, because it will definitely be meaningful and tell an incredible story. So once again, the only word I can use to describe you is power.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much for stopping by this morning.
Sure, I hope I'm invited back again.
Yeah, well, listen, exactly. And then like that Oscar speech of yours, I always tell my guests this. I have a very short name. It's just like two syllables. You can fit in. Thank you, Sia, there. Like,
oh,
you,
word. Just, can I quickly drop something quickly?
Just yes.
To, like, okay, so it's not the actual premiere tomorrow of the film. We're just showing the film as a once-off thing to open the Rapid Lion Festival, which is a new film festival. Now, this is going to be like what Cannes is now and what the Oscars are now. They all started as things like
oh,
this.
Yeah.
So please come. There's going to be at the Market Theatre. And then check it out on rapidlion.com about, and there's other great fantastic films from all over Africa. That
what time tomorrow?
Ooh, like I said, check it out on Rapid Lion.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Well, all the details and so much more right there. But Thabo Rametsi, thank you so much for stopping by on Untapped Talent this morning. Awesome stuff. So as we move on to our next guest, I think what better introduction do you need of her than her very own song? This is Van T with What Do You Do right here on cliffcentral.com.
I know what you're fighting, so go, whoa, let go, whoa,
no better introduction for my next guest right here on Untapped Talent. Her name is Van T, and that was her very own song, simply titled, What Do You Do? I'm very excited to chat to her, so let's get her on the line. Good morning, Miss Van T.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I love your sound. I don't even know how to explain it. How do you personally explain the type of music that you make?
I don't know. It's a tough one, obviously, because making it, I don't know if there's a specific thing that I, you know, think of, but I guess it's got a little bit of everything that I, when I write it, I guess. Yeah.
Are you heavily influenced by certain people that you look up to, or you influenced by a certain style of music as it is?
I think a lot of the like older folk artists, I definitely draw quite a strong influence when it comes to my own sort of stuff. And but also, I mean, there's new artists that I'm constantly finding that I'm like, why haven't I found you? And I'm one of those people that always has a mixtape. Like, I make a new mixtape in the car every month. And
wow.
Then I kind of get latched onto a certain style. So, yeah, I think the music I listen to must definitely have some kind of, even if it's not, you know, 100% intentional, I'm sure it kind of will leak out in the way in which I write.
Well, congratulations on all that you've done thus far. You know, you've done amazing, amazing things. Just back in 2013, playing at Opikopi's acoustic Ray-Ban stage. You've been able to release your 5-track EP titled Tides. And now you're celebrating We're Still Running, which is your full-length debut album. Let's talk about those 11 amazing tracks.
Sorry?
Let's talk about those 11 tracks on your album, We're Still Running. How was that whole process making that this project?
So the songs themselves, quite a couple of them for me at least, the album is kind of like it's a chapter and it's a story. And that's sort of what I've been trying to, you know, it's hard to explain to someone the exact process. But for me, there's three sections, and everything and how the album is set out is very intentional. And the songs for me go in categories in time frames. So for me, it's sort of like a timeline of how I experience the things and stuff. And even the name of the album, We're Still Running, comes from the fact that, the last three songs. So there's four songs that are in a group, and then another four songs in a group. And yeah, so I sort of went deep into even what the numbers mean, like the four is a whole number and three is an uncompleted number. And so the last three songs on the album were sort of where I was at just as the album finished. And I'm kind of still in that process.
There's clearly all of this thought that went into this. Overall, what's the story? Now I need to go back and analyze every single song and what it all stands for and what sort of frame of mind you're in. Overall, with We're Still Running, what is the story you wanted to tell?
I think it marks the starting point, and it marks whether it's in my life, whether it's in my mind, and whether it's all those songs that their intentions and where they're put out. For me, it's very much, it's almost like that first step that you take. I used this word once when I was trying to explain to someone about, it's the last day of the first month for me and for my career. And it's like,
Whoa. I need to digest that again. It's the last day of the first month.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah. So it kind of brings that feeling that, you know, there's a step that you've completed, but for me, it wasn't completed, you know, in sense of wherever it is that I'm going. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just marked that kind of point for me of that type of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's like that taking that first step in.
Well, I think it's very, very interesting. And I really think above and beyond anything, this is such a statement. And for a young artist to release such a body of work is absolutely incredible. So We're Still Running is available on iTunes and all good music stores nationwide as well.
Yes.
You were born in Pretoria. You were raised in Cape Town. Are you basically just around the country right now, just touring?
I am. I'm in Potchefstroom.
Can we speak specifically? Where are you now? Are you in the side of the road in a car?
Do you want to know where I am? I'm in the Mystic Booth.
Yeah.
I'm picking up equipment here. I'm standing in a pool room looking at the signs.
Yep. And that is totally normal. Okay. It's the life of the musician. Where can we get more information on you and your gig guide and booking details as well?
So the best is Facebook, and for people to follow me on Instagram, but Facebook, everything's kind of connected to that. So it's /Nicole Vanti, but it's the page name is Vanti. And I've actually just made a cover photo of the shows I'll be playing in the next month.
Oh, that's cool.
Which will be actually around, Joburg and its surroundings.
Yeah. So that is VAN T, right? Vanti.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. So listen, just make sure that when you are in Joburg, you have no excuse but to come and visit us here. Deal?
Okay, I will. Yeah, deal.
Awesome stuff. All right. Miss Vanti, thank you so, so much for joining me on Untapped Talent this morning.
Thanks so much, speaking. Cool.
Fantastic. And all the best, hey?
Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
Cheers, cheers. So that is incredible. That's another show done and dusted. Speaking to, she's clearly also, maybe the theme this morning was to speak to deep and introspective and these deep thinking people. So that is Vanti, a musician, with her latest album, We're Still Running. And clearly she's still running all over the country promoting that. And also getting to chat a little earlier than that, Thabo Rametsi, an actor who's, wow. power stuff. That's all I just have to say. He's such a powerful actor. He just makes his presence known and felt when he walks into a room. So really, both of these people I absolutely support, and I cannot wait to see what they're going to get up to in the future. But other than that, we're done. So thank you so much to my guests for stopping by this morning and filling me in on their lives and their stories and their careers. And also, as always, thank you for listening. We do this every single week right here on cliffcentral.com every Friday morning from 9 till 10 a.m. or else alternatively whenever you want to listen and catch up to previous episodes as well on cliffcentral.com to download the podcast. But I'll see you next week, right? It's a date, it's a deal. I'll see you 9 a.m. My name is Sia, and I'll see you.
Untapped talent on cliffcentral.com.